So yeah, I appreciate you coming out to think about this important subject. It might be a little bit ironic that on a cold winter's night we're thinking about burnout. So, we're going to think about what burnout is, why does it happen, and we're going to think about obviously what we can do to prevent it and to manage it. It's a pretty simple night, really. And in order to do that, there'll be two sessions. We have a little bit of a break in between, and maybe at the end of the second session we'll have a Q&A or whatever. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to answer any of your questions, but we might give it a crack anyway. It's not going to be a long night. I'm conscious of the time of year it is and you know, energy levels and so forth. And so we're going to try to cut to the chase a little bit, run through some things. I meant to have a little booklet. Again, I'm a bit slack. I sort of ran out of time. And, you know, trying to prepare this in between other life stuff. But take mental notes or take them in your phone if you think there's anything helpful. Really what I want to do is just try to spark in you some thinking, some greater awareness, maybe just one idea, if you can leave with that in your head, that's going to help you. Because burnout's a big thing and it's important to think about it. And that's what we're trying to do, open up ways of thinking about this subject. Who am I to be talking about this? Well, no one really, but my name's Matthew, if you haven't met me. I'm not an expert in this subject or any subject as it happens, but I do have an interest in this subject. I'm a Presbyterian minister. I'm also very shortly going to complete my Master of Counselling, and I have experienced burnout, very serious burnout. And so I've kind of been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and so I think I have a little bit of insider info about what it might be like for some people. Of course, I'm not trying to say my experiences are the same as everybody else, but it can, I guess, help me. It helps me have a bit of a passion for thinking about this subject and trying to avoid that. I also, in my life, have seen people go from full steam ahead in life. You know, they're charging at life, going ahead, and then they you see over time the energy levels begin to drop. And then they end up in quite a bit of trouble. And I've even seen people that I was quite sure were burned out, like seriously burned out, and they didn't even know it because they'd been like that for so long. They just thought that's how you feel, that's how your body works. Burnout is something that's hard to spot sometimes. It's like an invisible gas that's a bit noxious, and it doesn't knock you out straight away, but eventually it begins to affect you. And by the time you find out it is affecting you, it's probably a little too late to undo it. You've got to sort of change things and retool and address it very specifically. So burnout can have massive impacts on a person's life and obviously on the lives of those around you. So it's a big deal. That's why we're doing this. And so in our first session, we can just put that, get stuck in your slides going. We're going to cover off all the introductory stuff, basic questions about burnout. And then in the second session, we're going to get to the sort of the main thing, which is the preventing and managing burnout. But we're doing it that way because there's a few things I sort of want to cover off before we get to the big stuff, the thing about preventing and managing burnout. So we'll have a break in between. And just another caveat, I'm going to be tackling this from a Christian perspective. And so I don't know where everybody's at, but if you hear me talking about Jesus and God and the Bible, that would explain that. But towards that end, I'm actually going to pray and ask God to help us. So let's do that. Our great God and Heavenly Father, you are the God of strength. You are the God of love. And we turn to you tonight. We ask for your help as we consider the issue of burnout. Please help us to grow in our understanding of how our bodies and minds work and how life can be. Help us to be wise in how we respond so we might honour you and so we might be helpful to other people. We pray that you would show us helpful ways forward that cause us to follow Jesus more faithfully, no matter how we feel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I sort of want to start an introductory way, a general way. So I want to start by asking some questions. And the first one's going to sound really strange, and that is burnout real? It seems like a weird way to start, doesn't it? Because isn't that kind of what we're here to do? We're here to talk about burnout. Is it actually a thing? A lot of psychological language has entered our vocabulary, particularly in the last, say, 30 years, and burnout is one of them. When I was a kid, many moons ago, I didn't hear anyone talking about burnout. People might say they're smashed or they're frazzled or they're exhausted or they're burning the candle at both ends, they're burning the midnight oil, all sorts of things, but I never heard anyone go, oh, gee, I'm really burned out at the moment. This is a word that sort of entered our language. And we almost, it's almost like the word stress. We sort of, it's just a part of how we talk now. And so it's kind of a, it's a fairly recent term. If we go to the next slide, the term burnout was actually coined in a clinical sense in the early 1970s by this fella, Herbert Freudenberger, I think is how you say it. Even then, Dr. Freudenberger borrowed the term from the drug scene of the 70s. The term burnout at that point where he was used of those experiencing the effects of chronic drug abuse. And they'd get to a point where they were just completely just smashed as a person, and they'd call that burnout. That's the effects of long-term drug abuse. But he took this term and he began to apply it in a clinical setting. He would go to a particular clinic. He was a psychologist, and he's going to this clinic. And at this clinic, there are a lot of volunteers. And at this clinic, there would be a lot of drug addicts and homeless people come in. And he observed that over time, all these really enthusiastic volunteers who just wanted to help people, over time, he just saw them begin to just fade a little bit. He just noticed that at the beginning it was all rah, 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 we're going to help people. And then after a few years as he's going there, he just noticed no one's rah, rah, rahing anymore. He called them burned out. And he described three related symptoms of burnout. He noticed in these volunteers gradual emotional depletion, loss of motivation, and reduced commitment. And already, if you know anything about the way we use the term burnout, those things might begin to already ring a bell. Burnout. This sort of, even these things, at an early stage when he was talking about burnout, it was beginning to make sense. Burnout is a state of gradual depletion which reduces a person's overall capacities. I want to come to a more full definition in a moment, but I'm asking the question, is burnout really real? Because for decades there's been debate about this. Since this fella raised this, people have been going back and forth, like literally thousands of scholarly papers have been written about this subject, about what it is, what are the symptoms of this thing, and maybe we should describe burnout with using already existing medical and psychological language. Have we made up a term that we don't need? Tiredness and exhaustion and discouragement, they're so common, aren't they? Everyone gets that way at some point, probably at a lot of points. But are those things burnout? How do you know you have burnout if this is really a thing? That's one of the issues I sort of wanted to raise as we begin to delve into this. Whatever burnout is, it's kind of hard to define sometimes. In many cases, it's not hard to define or diagnose or identify a medical problem. Say, for example, look at the screen. One of these three people has measles. Which one is it, do you think? Just take a shot at it. It's a little girl, isn't it? Thank you, doctors. All right, well done. Okay, what about these next three people? Which of these people has burnout? What if I said it was none of them? What if it's all of them? What if it's one of them? What if I said the lady on the left has low blood pressure and her small business has just collapsed and she's just not feeling great? What if that fellow in the middle, he has an autoimmune condition? And what if the bloke on the right has just been looking after the grandkids all day, right? But you can look at them and you go, oh, those poor people, are they burned out? How do you know? See, with measles, they can take a blood test and they can check, okay, you've got measles. Even if you're asymptomatic, they can work it out. I once had chickenpox and didn't even know it, but they could tell that from my blood. If you've got an autoimmune disease, they can work that out too. If you think you might have COVID, they can test for that, but not for burnout. It's hard to know what to look for. It's hard to know how to sort of to test for it. It's hard to know when do you cross over that line from just being a busy everyday person who gets tired a fair bit to crossing some weird invisible line and then, boom, you're burned out. That's why this subject is a little bit of a slippery topic. It's no surprise it's hard to define burnout. In one of the scholarly papers I read, they said there's more than 140 definitions of burnout. Okay, so I'm not going to read them all out tonight, obviously. We'd need a few nights to get through everything. But there are all sorts of symptoms that could come under this term a burnout, but I guess over the decades, a whole bunch of symptoms have been grouped under this term. And I want to just, I'm just going to read them. We can just put them on the screen there. Exhaustion, lack of energy, sleep disorders, concentration and memory problems, feelings of insufficiency, inability to make decisions, reduced initiative and imagination, indifference, boredom, delusionment, inclination to cry, restlessness, despair, greater distance from people around you, accusations against others, loss of empathy, bitterness, dehumanisation, partner and or family issues, feelings of a lack of recognition, physical symptoms such as tightness in the chest, difficulty breathing and nausea. Now, I cut that list down. There was more things in it than that, and I thought, no, we just can't go on about all that all night. But I'm just trying to show you, I mean, this is, I've literally copied and pasted that out of a scholarly article by written by like proper psychologists describing that some of the difficulties they have in pinning down what exactly is burnout, because there's just so many things. I get tightness in the chest and I'm an asthmatic though. So, well, we can probably cross that one out, right? But there are a whole bunch of symptoms. So it's quite broad, isn't it? And some of these symptoms might be related to what we call burnout. Some might be a medical condition. Someone might go, oh, I've got some of those things, and yet they've got hyperthyroidism and they just don't know it. They've got low blood pressure, right? Yeah?
Quick question.
Yeah.
Would we be able to get a copy of these slides?
Yes, I can get a copy, yeah. Sorry, I meant to have handouts and the whole kit. Yep.
But if we wanted a copy
of it. Slides are easy to get, yep. Right. That's, or they've got them already, so they can just distribute them. So I'm just trying to say, oh, people talk about burnout. Oh, I'm feeling really burned out. Well, maybe your thyroid's not working. Maybe you've got low blood pressure. Maybe you've got a viral infection you don't know about. Maybe you've got an immune deficiency that you're not aware of. All sorts of physical things. You know, there is an official list of psychological disorders that is used by psychiatrists and psychologists worldwide. It's the big daddy of technical documents. It's called the DSM-5. Look it up. You can access it free on the internet, the DSM-5. If you open it up, you won't find an entry on burnout. It's not there. Depression's there. PTSD's there. Mood disorders, you name it. But no burnout. So it's been an interesting road for this term because it describes things that are real, but they're a little bit hard to define and they're hard to test scientifically because sometimes they're experienced subjectively, the feelings of exhaustion and tiredness. Sometimes they're attributable to other things, things that we know, low blood pressure, etc. So without going into all the details, burnout is, I think, gradually becoming recognised as a real thing, though. In spite of what I've just said, a big step in recognising it came in 2019 when burnout was included in the 11th revision of the International Classification for Diseases. I'm going to refer to it as the ICD. What is that? That's an official list made by the World Health Organisation where it's internationally recognised, they give a list of the things that humans get, basically. What are all the things that can go wrong with humans? Here's a big list. It's the ICD, the International Classification of Diseases. It's maintained by the World Health Organisation. In 2019, they put an entry in there for burnout. They said there's something going on here that people get, they experience, and it's called burnout. Now, they've included it in their list, but what they've done is they've said, look, for the time being, we're going to list it as an occupational phenomenon, okay? It strictly says that we don't believe this is a medical condition like measles. So they're saying this is something that, as far as they can see, happens usually in occupational settings, okay? So while I'm not an expert tonight, I want us to just start by saying that we're talking about something real, something that's becoming more recognised, but we're also talking about something that has some fuzzy edges. And I don't think I'd be, you know, being, full disclosure with you, being entirely truthful, if I just came out and said, oh, yeah, that burnout, let's talk about that. Because it's, like most things, it's really complicated. And if you try to do an attempt, even just for a couple of days of researching yourself, you will just be in a bottomless pit of scholarly articles and debates. So there are fuzzy edges around the definition and treatment. But even if the scientific, even if the medical community is trying to still work out exactly what we're dealing with, More and more people are saying they're burned out. We seem to be describing something that is really real. Counselors are noticing it. They're talking about it. Psychologists are noticing it. Doctors are hearing about it. They're seeing it too. And I've experienced it myself. And I've met people who've gone through it too. So just as we start, though the identification and all that scientific stuff is a little bit fuzzy, they're still working things through, it is a term, I think, that very much points us to something real. And that's why we're here, isn't it? We didn't come to think about something that none of us think is real. So, but I just wanted to put those caveats in there because I think that's helpful to know. This term has a history and there's a lot of debate in the scientific community about it because simply the identification of it is difficult because the symptoms are so broad. Now, with all those things on the table, I want to ask three questions. We just put those questions, very easy ones, and this is sort of the bulk of what we're doing in our first session. What is burnout? Who gets burned out? And why does it matter? So real quick, I'm going to swing through these. What is burnout? I've said already that the best definitions vary. We've already seen a list of symptoms, huge list of all different things. I want to show you the ICD definition first. Here's how the World Health Organization defines it. Remembering this is about, they're saying this is about occupational contexts. Burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. It is characterized by three dimensions, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion, increased mental distance from one's job or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job and reduced professional efficacy. I reckon that's a good definition. Now, I think I object to the limitation of it being to the workplace. We're going to come to that in a minute. I've got some questions for you guys too, but I think this is pointing us in the right direction. And here's another definition that's a little bit more succinct, that burnout is a pattern of negative subjective experiences characterized by emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, and reduced capacity. So here, this is a bit more of a manageable definition, isn't it? It's a bit shorter. Burnout is about feeling overdone. You've got less fuel in the tank. You're really not feeling yourself. Finally, I want to give you another definition. This is the one I'm going to use. It comes from Professor Matthew Viney, who lectures at Doofus University. And as a person who's burned out, this is my definition. Burnout is a subjectively experienced state of feeling lessened, that is depleted, exhausted, and disconnected, resulting from doing, feeling, or stressing too much for too long. That's my definition. You can have any definition you want. There's hundreds of them, but that's mine. And I think that matches up with most of the literature that you're going to find. And maybe if you've burned out or you know someone who's experienced it, that probably resonates a little bit with some of the things that you know. It's a set of negative subjective experiences that a person feels. Now, I use the word subjective, and that means, well, I felt certain things. You could look at me and go, I can't see you feeling that, like measles. You could see the measles. But I'm telling you that this is what's happening for me. These are experiences. I'm having them. You can't catch it from me, but these are my experiences. There's a state of being depleted, feeling overworked, less able, less interested, and it results from being overloaded or overburdened over time. Does that make sense? Burnout? I found a good metaphor. If we get away from all these fancy definitions and words, a well-known author, sort of an expert in the era of burnout, used the image of a teapot. We can just have that image. So if you can't remember anything from tonight, remember the teapot, all right? This is hopefully going to help you. Here, the water in that teapot is the energy, the enthusiasm, the drive, the motivation, the care. You know, you, when you're at your best, when you're tackling a task, when you're tackling life, when you're around people, that's the drive, that's the water inside, all right? And through the heat of life, the fire or work or whatever it is, the water begins to evaporate. It boils and it begins to be released from that. And even the teapot itself begins to experience physical stresses. You put a teapot, even a metal one, under a fire for a few days, see how good it looks. It will develop cracks and some of the little joins will begin to weaken. And so to keep the water boiling, we need to maintain the water level and just keep an eye on the fire so it doesn't go crazy out of control. And I reckon that's a way to conceptualise burnout. So again, if you forget everything I say tonight, that's fine. Remember the teapot, because that's going to help you. All right, we're going to come back to that later. So our first main question is, what is burnout? Define it how you want. It has something to do with feeling less, having less to give, having dried up, feeling overwhelmed, feeling more brittle, less yourself. It's hard to define, but it is a thing. And so now the second question, who gets burned out? Who burns out? Well, I guess anyone can. So there's that one. But before I move on, I want to say usually it's people who experience sustained periods of stress and heavy workloads. Like a teapot, you know, teapots that don't have any heat under them are fine. I mean, you could put water in a teapot and sit it on the bench and come back a year later and the water's still in the pot. The teapot's still the same it was when you left it a year ago. But when you and your personal resources are strained and stretched, when the heat turns up and it keeps coming and coming and coming, that's the context in which burnout can emerge. But as I said, in my definition, it's a bit of a subjective thing because it depends on the person and the circumstances, doesn't it? Some people seem to be able to just handle anything. I don't know, they really annoy me, but some people can just go hard at life. And they just seem, it's like water off a duck's back, and they just got boundless energy, and they can just focus, and they're smiling, and they're just going, and, you know, and they don't burn out. Why is that? I don't know, because we're all different. So when I said it's a subjective experience, that's a part of what I mean. You and I could be in the same situation doing the same things, and I burn out and you don't. Why is that? It was because we're all different. So that's a part of, again, why the scientists are scratching their heads going, hang on, some people experience this and others can be in the exact same situation and feel fine. That's the nature of burnout. Some people can just take anything almost. It does depend on the person. But from my reading and I guess from my personal observations, there are certain people who are more at risk of running dry and sort of becoming brittle and cracked. So firstly, we saw in that ICD definition before, people can burn out from their work. You know that. Doing too much, having too much on your plate, too much stress, too many hours, and if that keeps up over a period of time, the water boils off. So prolonged workplace stress can bring the onset of burnout. I'm wondering from you guys, here's a question for you guys, what are the contexts aside from work? Do you think people can experience what we call burnout? Has anyone got any ideas where it can happen? Let's say you don't go to work regularly, like a paid job. Yes?
Carer's stress.
Carer's. Good. Yep, definitely.
Carer's.
Yep. Yep.
Early years.
Lack of sleep and constant monitoring the kid. And that's if the child's healthy. The child's not particularly healthy or they don't sleep for the first 3 years. Yeah, yeah, yes.
Similar vein, but like relationship conflict, even with people
of similar ages. Yeah, yeah.
I just think dealing with family.
We won't read into that, but that's...
everyday life,
things could be happening. Yep, especially if there is in some families a lot of conflict or needs, you know, it can just be really wear you down.
I was going to say with that, then you can become isolation.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't want to talk, and so then they start, that's that burnout cycle.
Yeah.
You try to do it on your own.
Yeah, that's good. We'll come back to that too, yeah.
Just overcommitment in your personal life.
Yes. That's great. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, volunteers in a responsible role.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're already getting a sense, so I think we all sort of sense this, that we're talking about where there's a lot of stresses placed on a person or there's just so many things going on in their life, it begins to really add up. So the fire begins to heat up and that water begins to get a little bit low, and it's boiling and it's boiling and it's boiling. So I think particularly those who are vulnerable to this are those who are in regularly in contact with people, often in circumstances that aren't always easy or harmonious. And so nurses, doctors, psychologists, police officers, teachers, pastors, where they're in constant exposure to people in need, and I'm including carers, and whether they're paid or unpaid, mums, people for caring for other people at home in whatever capacity. These are the context for that fire to really heat up and for you to not be able to top the water up at any point. There's just simply no time. And I reckon another area of vulnerability is people who have people-pleasing personalities, right? Those helper personalities. I just love helping people. I just love serving. And that's wonderful. But sometimes people, you know, they just want to help other people, but they don't look after themselves. They give and they give and they give, but they never get for themselves. I don't mean get in a greedy way. I just mean get some basics. And that's a danger. If you're a people pleaser, watch out, because you might overcommit, because you just want people to be served and feel what they have, what they need, and be happy. Another group of people who are vulnerable are those with anxiety and depression, those with ASD and all sorts of other mental processing concerns, people who have some kind of mental health concern or whatever it might be that makes it harder for them to get through the day. A lot of people cruise through a day and they just do this, do this, and do this. If you've got a mental health concern, it's harder to do any of those things, okay? And that means that the water boils off quicker and you probably had less in there to start with, or your teapot is actually a little bit smaller than the other the people around you. You're more vulnerable if you have mental health concerns already, all right? And that includes a lot of people. Anyone can suffer from burnout over time, but there are some groups of people, I think, and we've touched on it, that are more at risk. So that includes you. You need to be particularly careful. And so burnout, as I said before, Professor Viney said that burnout is a subjectively experienced state of feeling lessened or depleted, exhausted, disconnected, and that results from doing, feeling, or stressing too much for too long. And that can happen to almost anyone. It's the teapot that's had too much heat for too long and it takes a toll. And finally, the third intro question is, why does it matter? Some people burn out. Who cares? Big deal. That's their problem. Now, well, we should care. Christians should have a particular interest in not only their own lives but the lives of those around them. Regardless of their religion or their social status or their sexuality, we have an obligation to care for people because they're made in the image of God. Okay, they're gods. And we should care about not only ourselves but other people. We are told to love people. God doesn't ask you. It's not a democracy. God commands us to love other people. And so it matters because we live in a what has been described as a burnout culture. So let's think about the ways our context in our society, because we all live here, so you know all about it, turns up the heat on us. What kind of things in our modern world, and I need you to answer this for me, can evaporate our resources and energy faster than maybe what we'd like? Hit me with your rhythm stick here. What have you got? Unexpected demands, yep. Yep. And there's an emotional thing that comes with that when something's placed on you. Yeah. It's a shock. Yeah.
You're just related. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're right. We'll just
related to that increased expectations. I feel like expectations have grown and grown and grown over the last few decades.
Yeah.
So many different
In every field, there's always these health and safety and the checks and everywhere you go, there seems to be this red tape and expectations and what you've got to do. So,
just the level of connection through all of the technology. That, you know, blurs the lines between one role and another role.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you. What other ways does our society turn up the heat?
Lack of sleep is huge.
Can I just see, put up your hand if you think you get 8 hours or more of sleep, of good sleep. Hands up. 8 hours or more of good sleep. No hands. What about seven? Seven solid hours of good sleep. Maybe a quarter of the people. Now, I don't want to go any further than that because it's going to be, we're all going to be very sad when we put out our hands. So there you go. So they say, I think 7 hours is probably what they're saying now. You need good solid 7 hours. And, yeah, most of us aren't getting that. So that's important to know. And that's almost like an invisible component. We all know we need sleep, but almost none of us get it the way we should. And if we do get the hours, we don't always get the quality.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes.
I was just comparing ourselves to others,
yes,
et cetera.
Yeah.
And also taking on things that are false.
Like, yeah,
you see social media, you see this and that, and God, and
yeah, all this. Yes.
And we're comparing ourselves to, yeah, some false image.
Exactly. Yeah. False, yeah. And that links in with expectations and, yeah, and different things like that. Yeah, yeah, that does place a big pressure on us. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, when you're talking to people, what have you been up to? You know, they've been probably doing a whole bunch of stuff. Or, you know, or I can't come to that church thing because I'm so busy, or I can't catch up because I'm just so busy. Unfortunately, it's quite true in a lot of cases. But, you know, we're doing a lot. We're doing more than we think, I think, sometimes. The author, David Murray, this is the only book I brought with me and recommend because it's the only one I've read aside from ministry, pastoral ministry. This, unfortunately, is only for blokes, so sorry, ladies. I didn't read a book about burnout for ladies. I'm sorry about that. This one, guys, Reset by David Murray, really good book. And so I just recommend that, Reset. I read that when I was well into burnout, went, man, if I'd have read this years ago, things might have been different. But he describes our modern Western world as having a burnout culture. It's almost hardwired into the way we live. Life for us is easier in many ways. We've got fridges and washing machines and all those kinds of things. But despite that, we end up being busier and things get more complicated. Life is faster. It's more immediate. And it's stressful. It's taxing. It's draining. It's discouraging at times. And that has implications for you and me. Because if we get burned out from that, it's going to really affect you and it's going to affect those around you, and you don't want that. And if those around us get burned out, well, it's going to impact us too. So burnout matters because we matter and other people matter, and being burned out is not much fun. Okay, it's not an ideal way to live. You can live burned out. I have a lot of people walking around, and I'm sure a lot of people at Christ Central are in a state of burnout, and they're somehow, by God's grace, they're scraping through, and God love them. But it's hard. And so if burnout is a thing and it's not good and it has significant impacts, what does the Bible say? Now, if you read your Bible cover to cover, you'll know that the Bible doesn't directly address the topic of burnout. There's nowhere does Paul say to the Athenians, Barnabas would be here, but he's got burnout and he slept in. Or, you know, the proverb, too much work and too much wine makes one burned out or something. But God's word does address every aspect of life because it's God's word. And we're going to read a classic part of the Bible that sort of points us in the direction of burnout. Indirectly and directly, the Bible does point us in this direction. So we're going to see a little bit more of that in the second session. We're just going to have a reading now. If we can put it up, Numbers 11, verses 1 to 17, and Dave's offered to do, I don't know where the mic is. Oh, we're going to, yeah. Yeah, come on. Oh, yes, read it there, mate, if you want. Yeah, that'll do.
Alrighty. Now the people complained about their hardships in hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Deborah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, if we only had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumber, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed, and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then gathered it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves, and it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought these troubles on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you have put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israelite elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, and that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is in you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone."
Thanks, Dave. Now, I know it's a bit random. We're just bringing in a reasonable size reading there. But, in the works that I've read, this and two other readings in the Bible, and examples of, we think of the teapot. You've got Moses, the teapot, right? And he's boiling away. He's got the fire under him. And, I'm just wondering what red flags were there in the reading, if you can just recall. I don't know if you've read that before. Did you notice anything related to burnout just from that reading? Anything that you just, even just a feeling or a sense of it?
Well, I think one of the solutions was sharing a burden.
Right, yep. So that's either, we could call that either reducing the heat on Moses, or that might also top a bit of water up, but certainly, yep.
Verse 14 says, "I cannot carry all these people by myself, the burden is too heavy."
Right, yeah.
"If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me."
Exactly, yeah. Now, I know we just read that and you think, oh, that's what Moses said. Moses has seen something. Moses knows what God can do. He's actually having a bit of he's exploding. He's having a moment here. He's told the God of the universe that he's seen, in the burning bush with Satan from Egypt, "Kill me," but basically to his face. "I'm done here. That's it. I mean, if this is what I've got to deal with," he doesn't want help. Just end it. Now, you've got to get to, when you're talking to the God of the universe, get to the end of your tether to basically demand that of God. Moses has been under the pump and he simply can't do it anymore. He wants out, like as in permanently, he wants out, right? That's an example of, I think, of what, pointing in the direction of what we would usually describe as burnout, excuse me, in the modern world. Pervasive feelings of negative evaluations of God and other people, a lack of enjoyment and efficacy in his role, feeling overwhelmed. He's probably got tightness in the chest. He's probably got all sorts of things. His experiences kind of match many of the things we would define as burnout. It's been too much for too long, and he wants out. And if burnout can happen to Moses, who the Old Testament describes as the friend of God, it can happen to anyone. It can happen to you if it hasn't already, and it's very serious. So, guys, that's all I've got for the first session. So far we've talked about burnout is a complex issue, it's something that's being studied, but it really is a real thing. We've defined it a little bit, and we've looked at the teapot. We've talked about who burns out, why does it matter, because people matter. We've noticed in the Bible this idea of burnout, being overwhelmed and exhausted and taken to the end of your tether, it's not a new thing, it's a human thing. So we're going to have a break now. We'll come back in maybe at 8 Okay, so in the first session, we started to think about some foundational stuff about burnout. And in the second session, we're focusing on preventing and managing burnout. But already we've seen a few things. Hopefully you've at least been sparked in your thinking about a few things. It's kind of harder to define and diagnose burnout because there's just so many symptoms and there's overlap with other ailments. There's some debate about what it is, but it's kind of agreed that there is a state that people experience called burnout. And if we go to, I think there's definitions, back to our definitions, burnout is a pattern of negative subjective experiences characterized by emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, and reduced capacity. And again, Professor Viney says that burnout is a subjectively experienced state of feeling lessened, depleted, exhausted, disconnected, resulting from doing, feeling, and stressing too much for too long. So that's my thing. So burnout is a real thing. It has some serious negative impacts. And we saw in that reading just before we had our break, becoming burned out is kind of overwhelmed, exhausted, is something that can happen to anyone. Even Moses seems to experience something in that ballpark. When faced with too much for too long, the emotions become negative and reactive. The motivation, the energy, the enjoyment all becomes lessened. You don't feel yourself. Life feels harder and it's overwhelming and it's not good. And in some cases, such as that in Moses, he tells God to just end it. That's how bad it can get. So in this second session, I just want to offer some starting points for how we as Christians approach burnout. There isn't one way to tackle this, but with sort of our Bibles in mind, we're going to talk about two things to start with. In this session, the prevention and the management. And, of course, these are just starting points for your own thinking. So if burnout is real and it's bad, if it has something to do with feeling depleted or exhausted or disconnected and it results from all this stress and feeling too many deep emotions for too long, all those kinds of things, how do we avoid it? Well, to answer that, I want to turn to the Bible, which gives us some common sense things. And when we think about preventing burnout, I think there are two key things that are going to point us in the right direction. I'm just going to hit you with them. Number one is to prevent burnout. We need to remember that we are fragile. We are human beings. We are essentially sacks of skin containing meat, juice, and bone. Okay? You're more than that, of course, but that is what you are. Okay? And if you don't believe me, go to an operating theatre or something, you soon find out, you open it up and that's what's in there, juices and meat and bones. And now, our teapot is fit for purpose, but it's not indestructible. And so through time, it develops a bit of wear and tear. So we need to remember we are not invincible. We are not Superman. We can't just do anything and everything we ever wanted to do. That's just not how it works. The Bible says things like this. We go to the verse. It says, God knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals, that's you, is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. That's a helpful reminder from Psalm 103. In fact, I'd suggest that reading Psalm 103 with some regularity would be a good idea if you're a Christian. We are very fragile creatures. We have our limitations and we need to work within our limitations. And amazingly, we know that the Son of God came from heaven and became fragile too. What a mystery. God became a teapot. He became one of us. He came frail and he sat on the fires of life and the intense heat. He became tired. He needed rest. He'd often need time alone to pray. He could be found resting at dinner tables with other people, socializing. He could be found sitting in a boat sailing across the Sea of Galilee, no doubt marvelling at the beautiful work of creation through which it was made by him, of course. As a frail human, he could be injured, he could be frustrated, he could be overworked and he could sweat and he could bleed. To be human in this world is to be vulnerable and to have finite resources, and we need refreshment, encouragement, nutrition and sleep. But see, if we take on too much for too long, we just get stuck into the next thing and keep going and keep going. And if we get into bad habits of eating and bad habits of sleep patterns, if we keep worrying about things too much and we're waking up in the middle of the night worrying about things and we're stressing, all those kinds of things, that'll take a toll because we're frail. We're humans. You want to prevent burnout, remember that. This isn't a superhero movie, and you ain't no superhero, all right? You don't have magic powers. I'm sure you're a very capable person, very wonderful person, but you have to live wisely within your limitations. The Bible says you're like grass. We are glorious dust that's here one day and it's blown away the next, which is why, in a second point that arises from the Bible, we are expected, in a second point here I'm saying, we're expected to take care of ourselves. In the Bible, God expects you to take responsibility for you. Of all the responsibilities in the world, the first level of responsibility is the one that you have for yourself. Okay? You are responsible for caring for you, not me. I'm not responsible for caring for you, not ultimately. Not Garnet, not Kirk, not your husband, not your wife, you. Receiving help from other people is great. Community is great. Church is great. You need all those things. I'm not saying you don't. Just trying to impress upon you. God has governed the world and set it up in such a way that the first line of responsibility we have is to have self-control and to monitor and care for ourselves. No one in the world is going to do that for you. By all means, give to yourself in serving and activity and work. Do all those things. Face stress. You know, push through, do your best, hang in there. You're doing great. But God intends for you to look after you. In fact, the golden rule is based on that idea, isn't it? Remember, Jesus said, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Now, that means you don't overwork and mistreat and take advantage of somebody else. You don't work other people into the ground. It's not a nice thing to do to a person, is it? And if that's true, you don't do that to yourself. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, after all, nobody ever hated their own body, but they feed it and care for their body just as Christ does the church. Or he tells the Corinthians, you are bought at a price, therefore honour God with your bodies. God is as close to your body as he is to your heart. God is as close to your body as he is to your heart. You're you. You're an embodied spirit, soul. God cares about how you're doing. So caring for yourself, your body, your mind, your heart is a great way to prevent the onset of burnout. I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm not talking about being lazy. The obvious point is if you just take some basic intentional care and looking after yourself, you'll be more equipped long-term to give more of yourself in love and service. You love loving people and serving and doing things? Great, keep doing that. But you have to monitor how you can do it so you can do it long-term. If you burn out, it's going to be really hard to do. Trust me. And so as we start to think about how to prevent burnout, there are two things that I think on my journey I personally forgot, and that is those two things I just said, which is why I started with them. Foundational ideas that we are frail and we have limited resources and we need to take care of ourselves. We have responsibility to God for how we take care of ourselves. In the rush of life, it's easy to forget that, isn't it? We know that. You'd say, what did I even come to this for? I know you've got to take care of yourself. So why is everyone burned out? Why is everyone tired and exhausted and stressed? It's just harder than, you know, it sounds right, easy in theory. It's hard to do. So kind of how do we actually do it? You know, we'll come back to our our teapot analogy if we can. To prevent burnout, I think we need to reduce the fire where possible. We need to top up the water where possible. That makes sense of why I said just this is all you need to know tonight in a way. Let's think about the fire of life. We're talking about it before, the heat. I don't think you can ever really reduce the heat totally. In fact, I think you need some heat. That's the point of having a teapot, right? It's not meant to be stone cold. It's meant to be warmed up. That's what it's for. The heat is pressure on us in life. There's things to do, places to be, people to see, stresses we face, bills to pay. Those are normal life things. That's fine. But too much busyness, too much stress for too long can really take a toll on you. So how can we prevent these things turning up the heat on us too much? Well, I'll ask for your ideas in a minute. I just want to offer a few things. I'm going to smash through this list, but here's just some ideas. Maybe some of them will stick with you, maybe not. How can we reduce the heat? Well, first of all, you can set boundaries on your personal time. You can set boundaries. It's good to help and serve others, but being a compulsive people pleaser or a perfectionist isn't always healthy. You've got to have some boundaries. You've got to say, no, I need to have a rest. No, I can't do that right now. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Sorry. Yes, I will help out, but I can't do it till next week or next Wednesday, or I can't do it till later in the year. Set boundaries so that you can reduce the amount of things rushing in at you. Create boundaries. Create borders. Not to be uncaring, but just to be a wise steward of what you have. Next, reduce the amount of media you consume. That's an idea. Especially the news. If you're really under the pump, opening up Google News or getting online or watching the TV news and reading about how some fella shot his wife and how people were drowned in a flood, that ain't going to help you. The world's been like that for a long time, and guess what? For quite a while it's going to be like that. Okay? You don't need to know that. Right? You don't need to know that. If you're feeling the heat of life, stay away from bad news if you can. Because believe it or not, if you never looked at the news again, the world would function just fine. Okay, let God be God. Let God run the universe, okay? That's his job. You do your job and he'll take care of his job. How's that? So I think I'm just saying a little bit less media, a little bit less news. You'll find that really helpful. That's something I had to do. I just had to get off that stupid Google News. It's all bad news. It's all sensationalist. It's all a beat up. What else? Well, get a bit of help from other people. You know, we think about reducing the fire. Get some help from other people. Sometimes, as I said before, people can get in this habit of doing all sorts of things for other people but never ask for help for themselves. And it's worth a go asking for help if you need it. If you're feeling under the pump, the fire's getting up too high, ask for some help from someone. Try it out. You might not get the help, but sometimes you might be surprised what people can do for you. I'd say in my life where I've really said, look, I don't usually ask for help, but I really need help. Almost all the time people help me. Maybe not quite always or the way I'd like it, but if you say, look, I don't generally ask for help, but I am really struggling, I need your help, and often you'll find people are there. They may not be able to do everything you need, but ask for help, all right? We're in this together. So if you think you need help, ask. Don't expect people to read your mind. People are not psychic. Don't be angry at people because they don't understand what you're going through. They just don't know what you're thinking. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Be flexible in that they may not be able to do what you want them to do, but they may be able to do another task that you've got on
exactly.
your list and free you up so that things are still.
That's a really great point.
Have to
yeah.
do, you've still got.
Thank you. Yeah, so if someone does say, yeah, I can help, but I can't do that, maybe I can do this, or I know you want to do that, but I can't do it till next Wednesday, maybe be a bit flexible. But try to receive some help if you can at all get it. Another point to reduce the fire is just don't do some things, right? What non-essentials can you let go of? See, we all have this invisible, I've got to do all these things list, right? Cross them out. Just get that list and go, nope, not doing it. Maybe next year you'll do it. You'll come back to it later, take a rain check on it. But get rid of some of those things. Maybe there are some things on your list that, oh, I've got to do this. Do you? Is the world going to end if you don't do X, Y, Z? I'm not saying don't, you know, do the basics of life. I don't show up to work or anything like that. I'm just saying if you look down your list, you might find a few things and go, do I really need to be worrying about that? I'll just do that next year or something. Okay, that's just a thought. Cross off some things off your list. Just do it and see what happens. Just be careful what you cross off, all right? So I don't want to hear from anyone saying, I didn't show up to work and I got in trouble. But you know what I mean. That sometimes you load up with all sorts of stuff. Oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Do you really have to do all those things? Just cross some out, come back to them later. Another thought about reducing the fire is watch out for worry. I am a notorious worrier. I'll worry about anything. Everything, you name it, I'll worry about it. I don't know why, it's just in my nature. It's just how I am. It's not a good idea, though. I think worrying is kind of normal, but having a proper concern for things, of course. But worry usually isn't helpful. Remember Jesus said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Jesus said, don't worry. Don't make a habit of doing that. Worrying usually doesn't help. It only adds to the fire. And you'll never reduce the amount of worrying you do if you don't notice that you're doing it. Because if you live in worry world, that's just the air you breathe, stressing and worrying about everything. You've got to catch yourself when sort of worries pop up, and you've got to catch it and try to go, hang on a minute, I'm worried about this. Is that worry really justified? If this didn't work out, is the world going to end? Probably not. Is worrying making things better? Or is that just something I need to release to God? And I think if you regularly release things to God and say, God, look, I'm sick of trying to run the universe. I'll let you do it, all right? And this thing and that thing I'm really worried about, you just do it, like me coming here tonight. I get really nervous doing this, terribly nervous. I worry about it. It's a big stress. But, you know, on the way over here, I said, God, you know, you got it sorted, whatever. You'll do something. It's fine. And then I was free. It's not really deep theology, but it is important, isn't it? Worry less. Those are some ways to reduce the fire. Now, I'm going to see if you have your own ideas in a moment, but I just want to talk about topping up the water, all right? Putting some fuel back in the tank. Now, the Bible has a great thing called a Sabbath. We've heard about it in Leviticus, right? God, from the creation of the world, God set up basically a one day in seven pattern. In the Old Testament, the day off would be the Saturday. In the New Testament, the pattern seems to be they take the Sunday off because that's the day Jesus was raised. It's kind of like celebrating the new creation and resting in that reality. Rest knowing Jesus is the resurrected King. He's got the universe sorted out. He's going to take care of it. He doesn't necessarily need you to worry about every detail. He's got it covered. So we need rest. That's not my idea. That's God's idea. From the very beginning, he knew these frail creatures he's making, these sacks of meat and juices and bones, are going to need to stop moving around a bit or stop stressing about their work. Rest your body, rest your mind, rest your heart, rest your soul. And so in the busyness, you must stop and breathe. Break up that busyness. You've got to fight against it. Eat a donut on the couch, right? Go to the beach and drink a soft drink and throw some chips at seagulls. Go to church, sing a song, praise God, thank God. Have fellowship. Relax with family and friends. You know, do something pointless around there, something, you know, I'm going to use a toothbrush to clean this now. Get out of that usual do mode and do something different. Stop the treadmill of life and get off it. That's important because our culture is a 24/7 culture with devices and the internet and Netflix. And this is one way I think Christians can be distinctive. You want to stand out? You want to seem different? Go to church. Not just because you're going to worship a God that a lot of people laugh at, because you're stopping and you're worshiping. You're finding your rest in God, right? You're breaking up that go, 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 it's all about me routine. That's rebellion against our culture. That's important. Get good rest. So if you can't reduce the heat very much because sometimes you're so busy, you can't just stop doing what you're doing. That's just the reality sometimes. Maybe you can top the water up a little bit. Maybe that's one way you can do it. You might just be able to sort of keep the exhaustion at bay. And one final idea about keeping the water topped up I want to suggest is think good thoughts. Now, I don't want to sound like some sort of New Age guru, you know, sort of guy, think good thoughts. But instead of worrying about everything that's hard and wrong, I want to suggest it's a good idea to start focusing on positives and blessings. Because sometimes all you see is problems and stresses and, oh, gee, and all the letdowns. How do you put water in the teapot? Choose some more healthy thinking. That'll help you put some water in there. Instead of worrying and ruminating, instead of critical self-talk or criticising other people, look for the positives. So I had a bad day, but, hey, by God's grace, I got through it. I could focus just on the bad day. What a crummy day. But, God, hey, I'm still here. Thank you, God. Oh, I'm not feeling very well at the moment. Ah, crikey, here we go again. But hey, guess what? Next week I'm going to feel like $1 million. Right? Oh, I had this great idea and it blew up in my face and oh, I'm such an idiot. Or I can just say, hey, I'll try something else. I'll make something work. You see what I'm doing there? It's not magic. It's fine, you have your first reaction, but then to add to that something positive, I just think it's a good idea. Bringing in more positive thoughts. Now, focusing on good things where you can, that'll make life more tolerable instead of just bellyaching about stuff. It's not pop psychology. Look at this from Paul. Paul says in Philippians, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Life is often about what you focus on. If you're focusing on or grumbling about all the things that are going wrong, you might be justified in those grumbles. But if that's all you do, that fire gets hotter and hotter and the water gets lower. Of course, the bad stuff's there. You're not supposed to ignore it. You don't sweep it under the rug, but just bringing in a little bit more of a focus on the good things, the highlights of the day, the blessings that God has given you, that'll put more water in your teapot. I remember for many, many, many months I would wake up and just feel bleak about the day, just thinking, oh, another day, I've got to do all these things. And then I decided to do something really uncomfortable and weird, in that I decided when I wake up I'm going to open my eyes and I'm going to say, thank you, God, for giving me another day. I love you. And I started just saying that. Now, the first few times I said it, I didn't mean it. Okay? You say that when you open your eyes, thank you for another day. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I don't deserve this day, but I'm just going to do the best I can. Would you please help me? Sometimes they can, even just that, it's a little bit of a kickstart to the day instead of, oh, no. So all I'm saying is sometimes just little phrases you say or tell yourself that are a bit more positive, they can add up. In the same way that bad things can add up, good things can too. But I just want to check with you guys, what are some ways you think we do reduce the fire and top up the water? What do you reckon? I've only mentioned a couple, but what else? Reduce the fire, top up the water. What can we do? Yes.
Focus on health and nutrition for your body.
Excellent. Yeah, like eating mud cakes and everything. I was going to mention nutrition in the previous, and I saw what everyone brought, and I went, okay, we'll talk about that after we've eaten it. Yes, who? Yep.
I think personally for me, remembering that my identity is in Christ and not in my work.
Really good.
And not in people, you know. People say, oh, what do you do? You're identified a lot of times in that culture, who we are and how we work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so our identity is in Christ. Yeah, and that puts everything in perspective, doesn't it? My work is just a means to an end. It's something I do. I want to do it well. Yeah, my worth, my value comes from Christ. And so therefore, because of that, now I can go out and do a day's work. It may work out or not, I'm not sure, but that's where my identity is. Yeah, that's really good. I like that. Someone else had there. Yeah. Sorry?
Exercise.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, so that thing that everyone keeps talking about that almost nobody does. But yes, or maybe I'm speaking about myself then. But any other things? Reduce the fire, top up the water? Yeah? Yep, good. Sorry, what was that?
Have cake with friends.
Have cake with friends. I think it's a really good idea. That is a good idea. Yep.
I'd say therapy as well.
Therapy? Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll come to that too, yeah. Look, there are lots of things. If we can just have the next slide. You know, good nutrition, adequate sleep. I want to add resting with that, holidays, whatever, but regular exercise, social connection, spiritual engagement, i.e. church, growth groups, reading the Bible, etc. Set boundaries, have a positive focus, reduce your to-do list if you can, and get out of those bad news stories. Get rid of that. So there are lots of different ways to reduce the heat of life and to make sure that we have enough, I think, personal resources. But you know what? It takes awareness, right? It takes self-reflection because everything we've just talked about is obvious, isn't it? You think, what did I come here for? I knew all that. I could have just Googled that at home, right? It's so obvious. But looking after yourself isn't quite as easy as it seems, right? Living this world is hard, you know, but we need to be intentional about worrying less and getting a bit of sleep and doing a bit of exercise, and we know all that. But people still burn out sometimes. because it happens slowly. No one ever goes, no one's ever completely fine and the next day, oh, I've just found out I'm burned out. It just happens gradually. And so if you're worried about whether you're slipping into burnout, I'm going to suggest you might need to talk to somebody. Certainly pray about it. Talk to God about it. Because what cannot be said to God cannot be said to the self. You need to, if you're going to reflect on it, you need to talk to God about, honestly, about where you're at. I'm really worried, God. What do I do? Please guide me. Maybe you can write down a list of three things you're going to do differently. We're nearly at halfway through the year, right? So maybe for the second half of the year, if you're thinking this is something you want to work on, just write three things you're going to commit to that's something that's going to reduce the fire, top up the water, whatever you want. It could be anything. But don't just leave it into vague land. You know, don't put it in the, oh, yeah, I'll get to that drawer, right? But finally, sort of, what if you are burned out? What if it's a little bit too late? Right, and there'll be some people here probably in that zone, in the burnout zone. And if you're feeling a lot of things, you know, that we had a big long list of all those symptoms, you know, the negative feelings and all that kind of stuff. If you're saying, yeah, I'm up there, that sounds like it's talking about me. How can we manage it if we're burned out, if we're already there? Well, again, I would offer a few ideas for your consideration real quick. Firstly, I want to say, and it's a point we had before, because of the complexity of this, if you think you're in burnout, you might not actually be in burnout. You might have depression and you just didn't know that. Your immune system might have taken a holiday and moved to Spain for a few months, right? Your thyroid might be playing up. You might have a mood disorder you didn't know about. You might have anxiety combined with low iron levels or a vitamin D deficiency. It could be all sorts of things. If you think you might be burned out, I would suggest you see a doctor. Okay? Pray about it by all means, definitely. Talk to somebody. Go and see a doctor. Go in there and say, look, this is how I feel and it doesn't feel right. What do you got for me? And they'll ask you questions, see what you can do. Or if you think maybe it's a mental health concern that you've got, pray about it and see a doctor. Talk to somebody. So that's, I guess, the first little caveat. You know, we're talking about how do we manage being in burnout? Go to a doctor, okay? If you were having a heart attack, you wouldn't go, oh, I'll walk it off, you know? You know, if you had measles, you'd probably go to the doctor and say, oh, I'm feeling really crook here. They probably wouldn't let you in. They'd do a telehealth. But see a doctor. But what can we do if we really think that we're in burnout with that little caveat said about the doctor? Well, I think all those things on that list that we just saw, all those things apply. All right? Part of the reason why sometimes we get into burnout is these things drop off. We're taking on too many things. It's too much negativity. We're not looking after ourselves. All sorts of things, okay? So I just present that to you, something that stands as, I think, a well-established list of things that might help to reduce the heat under the teapot and put some water in the pot, all right? That's really at the core of it, I think. But if you really are burned out, I want to preface those things with three ideas real quick. Accept, clarify, and commit. So if you really are exhausted and flat, if you lost your twinkle and, you know, I'm going to suggest be kind to yourself. Don't bash yourself up. God still loves you. And if he loves you, it's all going to come good in the end. God's got you covered. You may not ever get out of burnout. I don't know. But even there and then, God's going to love you and go with you. And I'm going to suggest that if you are in burnout, first of all, accept that that's the case. You just need to fess up and go, right, I've gotten to this point and that's where I'm at. Don't live in denial. Another suggestion is be still before God. Stop running around, stop stressing, but be patient and cry out to him and lament and mourn what you think's happened to you. And say to God, I'm going to wait on you. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That's from the psalm. Wait on him and ask for wisdom. He'll help you. But don't live in denial. Accept that you are where you are, and that's a part of the journey that God has for you, apparently. You haven't stumbled off to the path into some weird zone that nobody goes into. Unfortunately, or for whatever reason, that is the path you're on. So if you're on that path, keep going. It's not easy. It's not nice. But accepting the fact that you're not doing as well as you'd like is very important. And then the next suggestion there is to clarify. Clarify, what do you mean you think you feel burned out? What do you really feel? What are you connecting with when you talk about that? So what do you feel? How does your body feel? Check in with it. Through the day, do I feel drained? Is my neck hurting? Have I got headaches? What's going on with me? Be specific about things and clarify, because when we're under the pump, when we're stressed, when we're burned out, things become a big muddle. Clarify what's going on for you. How many hours a week do you really work? A number. How many times a week do you feel genuinely relaxed, fully relaxed? How many times? Get a number. How many people have you caught up in the last month just to unwind and do nothing and anything and everything? What's the number? How many meals have you eaten recently that are nutritious, like genuinely nutritious? What's the number? Yeah, last night we got some takeaway. I just wanted to share this, but we got those, you know, those kebab shops. They have those snack boxes, and they're just basically big pile of chips with kebab meat on the top. And we ordered them. We got them two big boxes, right? And this is what we're having for dinner. It's just basically fat and salt with a little bit of processed meat on top. And I looked at it when we opened up these huge piles of this cholesterol and salt. And I said, guys, I don't know whether we should give thanks or apologize that we're about to eat this. The body's a remarkable thing, but good nutrition is good. How many good nutritious meals have you had in the last week? Get a number. Don't let your situation be vague. Get some facts about what you're really going through, what you're really doing. Accept what you're at where you're at, and then be specific about what you're feeling and doing. And then thirdly, commit. Commit to doing something different. I'm not giving you a big list. I'm not trying to overburden you. I'm just saying, just take something out and do something instead, or add to something you're already doing and just make it a little bit better. Do something constructive in your favour, even if it's only just one thing. What can it be? I'm going to have a little bit less time on my phone and a little bit more time in the Bible, just half an hour a week extra. I'm going to switch that over. Less time on the computer, more time at the beach. More time sitting at the back with a cup of tea. Less time stressing, more time praying, taking deep breaths. Accept where you're at, clarify what's really going on, and commit to doing something to reduce the heat and to put water back in the teapot. And we're about to finish. I just have one final point, and then we'll just maybe see if there's a couple of questions and we'll finish up. The point is this: you are not a teapot. Just want to add that. Okay, that is a helpful image. I want that to stay with you. I want you to remember that tonight. You are a precious human being made in God's image. You are here because God decided you are going to be here. You, specifically you. It's God's idea that you be in this room. It's God's idea that you live in the life that you have, no matter how hard it is. And Jesus Christ, who became a human for us, died for you. He had your name in his mind. And he did that to bring you into the richest, deepest, and most satisfying reality you can have, and that is a relationship with God. Nothing beats that. No amount of money. They can have all the money in the world. I'd rather have Jesus. You can keep it. I want Jesus. And that journey with God has many endings and beginnings. There's lots of small, I'm going to call them deaths, and new beginnings, new life. Even think of the gospel. What is it? There's sin, and then Jesus dies, and then there's new life. So if you've burned out, you're probably never going to be exactly the same as you were before. Serious burnout will change you permanently in most cases. It might not. Maybe you'll be fine. You go back to how you were before, but probably not. And I want to say that's okay. Often in life we say goodbye to one way of being and we begin a new one. You say goodbye to your childhood and you begin to live as an adult. You say goodbye to a job and you begin a new job or you retire. You say goodbye to the young and relatively healthy body that you had and you get this. All right, I've covered it up with a suit jacket so you can't see it. Life is full of little ends and new starts. And I want to suggest that that's often the case with burnout. It's not a prison sentence. It's not God punishing you. It's an opportunity to have a new start, to do things a little bit differently, to be a little bit more careful, to be a little bit more wise, and to remember that in this weird, I guess, mystery of life that we find ourselves in, somehow, some way, God has a purpose in all that, whatever you're going through. And so while you should care for yourself, sometimes burnout is part of the story. And I want to end with one of my favourite parts of the Bible, which I think I read last time, the grief seminar. That final verse, have we got that verse there? Paul says, we know something. Okay, in a world of doubts and so forth and opinions, Paul said, we know something. What do we know, Paul? We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And so in a burnout culture, as frail creatures, we should avoid burnout as much as we can, reduce the heat, top up the water. But even if you do burnout, it's just another step on the journey, all right? On the journey to heaven, when you'll see Jesus face to face. You'll see those nail marks. You'll realise that he suffered too. The fire consumed him. But behold, he is alive forever. And if you feel burnout, if you feel like you're at that place, it is another step to become a truly wise person like Jesus, to follow him, to be careful how you live. So what have we seen tonight? Burnout is complex. It's hard to diagnose because it overlaps with lots of other conditions. You need to remember that. But it's real. It's about feeling lessened, exhausted, diminished, overwhelmed from doing, feeling and stressing too much for too long, and it's not good. But there are wise ways to prevent it. You can reduce the heat, top up the water, but even if you do run out of water, God is good. And even then, he will take care of you. He has good plans for you. We know that, Paul said, in all things, that in burnout, God works for the good of those who love him. And that's all I have. I wonder, are there any questions? Anyone want to?